My first piece of Tabernacles was CGI, was in Leamington, and it was an amazing time. I had an amazing time there. My children came for the long weekend. I stayed there with Ernie. I left there and I was in tears. I was in tears. Carlos can vouch for that. You saw me exit the building pretty quickly. And then last year we went to Myrtle Beach, and it was transformative. Whenever I go to the feast, I'm looking for something. I expect God to give me some kind of a message. And he hasn't let me down. And he does not let me down, because he knows that I come there looking for him, so that I can move forward with him and we can move together, forward together. And this year, again, at the feast in Collingwood, I saw something, and I shared it what I saw with you shortly after the feast. And I'll just remind you what it was that I saw. And it was Pastor Ramakan was giving his message on belief and unbelief. And as I was sitting in the back, I could see Pastor Ramakan there. And I'm just going to keep it together here. I'm getting emotional. But I was staring at Mrs. Carey doing the sign language all week long. And she has her back to the speaker. And she's looking into the man's eyes and doing the sign language. And she's listening to every word that was being preached there and translating it. And I'm thinking, this is Christianity right here. This is Christianity. Looking at her, giving of her own self to serve someone that is hearing impaired, and translating that message. That to me, that was awesome. And God bless Mrs. Carey for doing that. And if you're looking for something to do in the church in the future, you may want to consider doing that and speak with her, because we will need some more people to do this type of thing. I hadn't been planning on talking about this here at all, but anyhow, we've lost some very influential people in the past year, a few years past. The most recent, in the secular world, I mean. Thank you for that, Margaret. In the secular world, the most popular one that we can think of right now is the recent passing of John Glenn. He was the first American man in outer space, I'm pretty sure. And his name came across all the television networks, and they praised him about different things that he had accomplished, and different universities that were named after him. I'm just going to run through some things as to the accolades that were given to him while he was alive. Okay, so the John Glenn Research Center at Lewis Field, Cleveland. Okay, the NASA Glenn Research Center, Patterson Air Force Base, named after him, or he was given an award. Wright State University near Dayton, Ohio, John Glenn High School, John Glenn Elementary in Seven Hills, Ohio, are named for him as well. High schools in Westland, Bay City, Michigan, Walkerton, Indiana. San Angelo, Texas, Norwalk, California, all named after him. This man was an accomplished man. He accomplished a great deal of things. I mean, I can go on and on here. Where the fireboat, John H. Glenn Jr., was named after him. San Diego General Dynamics, the mobile landing platform, here, page two. He joined the military. Before he joined the military in World War II, he received honorary doctorates from Nihon University in Tokyo, Japan, Wagner College, just all kinds of awards. National Aviation Hall of Fame, International Space Hall of Fame in 77, Hall of Fame in 2000. This man was accomplished. Okay, and I'm going somewhere with this. I could go on and on. Here, I'll mention the name of another person that was quite accomplished as well, and that would be Whitney Houston. She was a wonderful singer. I mean, she grew up in the church, and then she found fame. She was extremely talented. And she found fame in the secular world, and then she got caught up into with some wrong people, and then they found her in a bathtub bed, you know, one morning, and then her daughter suffered the same fate afterwards. And this is what happens when you veer off the track. You have a goal, and things are going well, and you veer off the track, off the path, and that. Things can happen, and unfortunately, you know, that's what happened to her. Another great, and she was very accomplished. Another person that we lost to recently was Muhammad Ali. He died at the age of 74. He suffered for 35 years of Parkinson's disease. He was a three-time former world champion, and he passed away in the hospital of respiratory issues. I mean, there's more. Leonard Cohen passed away about 3-4 weeks ago, known for the Hallelujah song. You all remember that song. And then he goes down as a message was posted on the singer's Facebook page on Thursday night, and it read, "It is with profound sorrow we report that legendary poet, songwriter, and artist Leonard Cohen has passed away. We have lost one of music's most revered and prolific visionaries. A memorial will be taking place in Los Angeles." So these people are very accomplished. They were very focused throughout their lives. They had vision, and they followed that vision. Another one too, Leonard Nimoy. Remember Mr. Spock? Star Trek? He passed away. His indelible phrase was, live long and prosper. You know? And still remains today a popular saying. So the people that I have mentioned were very accomplished. They were disciplined. They were tenacious in their lives and their careers in this world, however accomplished they were. One day they will be before God. Jesus Christ and kings and priests, the saints of God the Father, you guys, okay, to learn about the real God and the past, the former ways of this world, will seem irrelevant to the new future that they didn't know about in this lifetime. In God's big picture, there appears all of this that I just mentioned, the people that accomplish all these things. In God's big picture, this almost seems trivial when you look at our calling. And it pales into insignificance to our Christian calling, our responsibility, why we're here today. Now, how do these careers compare to the importance, to the achievement of the developing Christian character in a world following Satan's ways? As we live our days, as we live our lives day to day, knowing we have a relationship with our Father in heaven through Jesus Christ, we are called to a much higher calling, a truly precious calling. And I believe in the Hebrews 6, there's a mention of the pearl of great price. So that is what our calling is. You can compare our calling to that pearl of great price. It's of great importance. So I'd like to specifically talk to the youth in Christian context for a moment. Okay, the Bible tells us about the return of Jesus Christ, and it is totally centered around Jesus Christ. And do we know when he'll return? No, we do not know. Only the Father knows. So as Christians, we must plan for his return. In waiting, we must also live our lives at the same time in the Christian context. For example, as adults, we go to work every day. Some of us are retired, but some of us go to work every day, and when we have people in our lives that we talk, we keep the context of Christ and God's plan in our conversations or in our dealings with these people. And just as you, when you go to school every day or in university, you keep the context, the Christian context, in that when you're dealing with your fellow classmates and that. So what I'm trying to tell you, again, with Christian context, is to live your lives in this world. Live your lives. Live, dream. Big dreams. Your career, what you want to do with your career. And the accomplishments that you'd like to accomplish. Because God wants you to reach your potentials with Him in mind, intertwined in your daily decisions. He'd like you to consider Him every time that you make a decision, especially important decisions when you're dealing with other people. So, and He does this because He would like you to develop, God would like you to develop the character and stretch yourselves and reach the new highs and have experiences. Experiences in life are very important. It's good to know the Word of God. It's good to know God's Word. But you couple them with experiences, and you can accomplish great things through God's Holy Spirit. So I ask you to look around the congregation and at the adults that surround you, and have experiences in life, and yet they are here today. There are things that they have accomplished, many things in their lives. And I'll give you an example. Ernie has accomplished incredible things in his life, him and his wife together. Margaret has overcome and accomplished many things in her life. You know that she was once with a classroom of young children in Quebec City when there was a gunman loose in the parliament, and she had to hide those children. And I remember that story. I was in grade 6 or grade 7 then, and I remember hearing about that story when I was living in Three Rivers. And then I met Margaret here 4 years ago, and I heard the story. I said, I remember that. You know, the things that you've accomplished, all of you, the things that you've accomplished. You know, I started asking questions about God about when I was around 5, 6 years old. Then my mother died when I was about 8 or 9 years old, and I started asking even more questions. So I've been looking for God all my life, and you know what? It's amazing that after 54 years, here I am today. Here I am today, doing my first message. I've been searching for Him all my life, and He has entrusted me to come and speak in front of His saints. So this is very precious. We learn so much here. So I'm just going to tie it up here, or finish it up. If you have a chance to read Psalms 116, it's just amazing. I'm sure you've all read it before. Here's one in verse 15. It says, "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints." So if you could just ponder on that and read that whole chapter and get the context of that, of how important your lives are to this calling. Extremely important. That's all of the other things that I was mentioning before pales to your calling and how important this is. Our calling is supernatural, and requires support from supernatural power, and that's God's Holy Spirit. And I was going to entitle, I started on this message about 2 months ago, and I was going to entitle it, "That the Eyes of the Lord are upon those ... And so I went through the scriptures, and I found different areas that... Well, pretty much the narrative, you can fill in the blanks, basically. So the eyes of the Lord are upon those that fear Him. The eyes of the Lord are upon those who love Him. The eyes of the Lord are upon those who are willing to serve Him. The eyes of the Lord are upon those who love his people. The eyes of the Lord are upon those who care for his people, who have compassion for his people. You see the narrative there. The eyes of the Lord are upon those that are diligently seeking him. So that's my message today.